Hello, and welcome to Handy Link. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Today we're bringing you something special, a panel discussion featuring our old friend DJ Dave Squeaky Wheels and a longtime friend of his.
Oh, and hello, CJM. This is DJ Dave Squeaky Wheels here, coming back after a long time. It seems like I haven't been back in the studio for forever, but I'm so thrilled to be back here with Cam Wells. I love his show. You know, DJ Squeaky Wheels, this is my favorite show, out of all the other shows that I've done at CJM. And I'd just like to welcome a special guest with us today. It's actually a really good friend of mine. Her name's Sarah Mickle. She's a student here at the University of Windsor, and we're just here to do that long-anticipated panel show that we've been waiting so long for. So say hi, Sarah. Say hello to everybody.
Hello, everybody.
Yes. We're just basically going to be talking about various issues,
Well, basically, you've heard the complete history of me and Dave's experiences mm-hmm. growing up with disabilities. Mm-hmm. But
the life and times. I know you guys, you just can't get enough of that, can you?
Or as I call it, Dave the mini-series, but,
not very good ratings. Because
since people with disabilities come from all kinds of backgrounds, each of us has unique experiences, unique challenges. We wanted to give you the perspective of someone you might not necessarily have heard before.
Exactly, because we both have documented what our disabilities are on the air before, and I just think it's important that we get more guests on the show so that we can explain more of the disabilities that are out there. And so that way, because I think that way we can breed some more understanding and some more acceptance in society. And so I just want to ask the first question. Sarah, if you don't mind, could you tell everybody what exactly your disability is and just give us like a little bit of a, rundown on it?
The disability that I have is called Child Syndrome, and it's an acronym, but I can't really pronounce all the things for it.
Okay.
What it means is basically I have a limb defect, I have a heat intolerance, I have a skin condition called ichthyosis,
mm-hmm.
and that's all that it is. So I'm in a wheelchair. I used to wear a prosthetic leg, but because of my skin condition, that ended in about grade 7 because it was too difficult for me.
Okay, so now were you born with this disability or was it acquired?
I was born with it.
Okay, so it's like me in some ways.
Yes.
So can you give us an idea of what it was like going through the education system having your specific condition?
I honestly didn't have a lot of trouble. I got along well with a lot of people. The major thing that I faced was accessibility around the school. But when I was younger and I used to wear a prosthetic leg, I could walk around, and so it was a lot easier for me to do things. But then when I had to start using my wheelchair, it was a lot more difficult, you know, to open doors and get up curbs, and it just restricted a lot of the things that I could do.
Yeah, it's just like one of those little subtle challenges that I really don't think that the average able-bodied person doesn't think of, you know, when they're really trying to design some of these schools, you could say. Like you could make the argument, I'm not saying all of them do, but I have a similar experience with you, like, mm-hmm. like throughout various forms of school.
Yeah, they don't notice, like, what we have to go through.
Definitely.
One thing about that, as some of you out there listening may be aware, a small group from the National Campus and Community Radio Association, we're working on assembling an accessibility manual for stations.
And I'm in it.
Thing is, if you think about it, say you have a radio station in a basement. You have an elevator, that's fine. But say you have something like a gas leak and there's no power to run the elevator. So how do you solve that? You have a portable ramp. Sure, it's a short-term financial setback, but the cost of life that could be potentially lost in this situation is beyond measure.
Oh, definitely. I totally agree. And I think that that more institutions, you know, now so more than in the past, are taking a few more of these precautions in terms of accommodating people with various disabilities and conditions. But, you know, you always run into the people who
who don't always take the time or effort to do that. You know, just recently I was away in a city. I won't name the city. I won't name the building or none of that stuff. But basically, I was on the very top floor, and we had a blackout that day. Like the entire building was blackout, and there was no backup generator. So I had planned to go out that day, and I had some errands to run that day, but I wasn't able to go out because the elevator wasn't working. No backup generator. So as a person with a disability, how am I supposed to get down those however many flights of steps and still get out safely like everybody else? Like, it's just something that you don't think of. Like, it's not just people with disabilities. It's the elderly. It's anybody with any type of condition like that.
What they should do whenever a building is designed or whenever a community is planned or anything along those lines, there should be an accessibility committee established within whatever organization. And these things should be subject to periodic review. What do you think of that, Sarah?
Yeah, I agree with that.
So, like, and also we've discussed in numerous shows about how there's going to be this new... It's like a new bill or like a new law that states that every facility here, every service has to be accessible now. Like, I personally think it's been a long time coming. Like, what do you guys think about that? I really just think that it's something they should have done a long time ago.
The watchword, folks, would be monitoring. It's so easy to establish a set of policies and physical space upgrades, but it would be really, really easy for people to just do it and then forget about it, and to fall off the wagon, as it were.
Did you have some dads there?
Yeah, just that they don't follow through, like you said. You know, they'll put these plans in action, but then they don't actually.
Exactly. It's not just like one piece of accessibility too. It's not about just putting one bar in a bathroom or bring an elevator there. Like, what you have to do is you have to make sure you always try and think and accommodate people with disabilities like this.
Dave, having a bar in a bathroom does not mean you can get a beer at 2 a.m.
Well, you know, that's another story that I can't say on the air.
But, the key thing is finding people who actually know what they're talking about. For example, I heard about a country recently that every street is raised so as to minimize the risk for a person with blindness to ever be hit by a car. There are accommodations in place. And the best way to really find out about a disability is to ask somebody who has it.
I completely agree. I think that's been the cause of many of the problems in the past, because I was speaking to this one guy. I was on the bus the other day, and he said that he went to some of these conventions where they were talking about accessibility. And they're talking about wheelchairs specifically. And this was back a while ago, about 20, 30 years ago. And apparently, like they said, yeah, you'd see these guys up there who are from, you know, these big Ivy League schools and have these big degrees and standing up there talking about accessibility. And it's like, well, how would these guys know anything about accessibility when they've never had the experience and they've never enlightened themselves? I think it's very important that in order for you to gain knowledge, you have to gain knowledge from the right source. And how you get it from the right source is by a person who has a condition or like that you're looking for, or like that's similar to what you're accommodating, or, you know, in that sort of way.
Another thing is to kind of look beyond the obvious. Disabilities aren't just being in a wheelchair or having limited mobility. Disabilities in a lot of cases can be things that you wouldn't necessarily notice. One of the proposed upgrades for the radio stations that I included in my section of the book is having audio readouts in Braille for all the panels. This takes into consideration not only those who have spatial mobility problems, but also those who might be blind or have limited eyesight or what have you.
And since we're on the topic of learning about accessibility, I recently went to a conference up in Toronto. It was just for people with disabilities. It was a very enlightening experience. It was mostly for youths, and I'd never been to this facility before.
Since when are you a youth?
Exactly. I'm like an old man now. Old Man River.
No singing.
Exactly. I know. You've heard me sing before, and you know, I think I heard some cats screaming and some babies crying, and, you know, a puppy even died. No, it's just... But that's another story. You know, but the... Getting back to my point, the main The main purpose and the main, one of the main points that I got out of this conference was that I was able to learn so much more about what people who aren't just in my situation but who are in other situations go through, and I think it's made me a better person. Like, I really do think that that's who we need to turn to when it comes to not just accessibility but when it comes to anything in society, because we need to let the world know that we're still contributing members and that we have jobs, we're just like everybody else, you know. Like, I don't know, what do you think about that, Sarah? Like, do you have any other friends with disabilities, and like, I don't know, how do you guys like see this whole, you know, this whole ordeal?
I do have other friends with disabilities, and I agree. I think that unless you live it, you don't really fully understand what people have to go through. And so that's why you need to come to, you know, the right person, to, like you said, to get the right source of information. yeah, I don't know.
Well, one of the things that I've always said about people with disabilities is the idea of pooling not only their ideas, but their strengths. What one person might have a limitation on, another might be able to pick up the slack. I mean, you work together and you can accomplish anything. Just remember the saying that I'm so fond of. People with disabilities can accomplish anything you can. It's just a question of how.
And since we're on the topic of this, I actually have a brief story to share with you, because I know we have to go to commercial quite soon. But when I was at this conference, what I have, by the way, is actually, it's called arthrogryposis. It's a cousin to arthritis and fibrosis. And basically, it just affects all the major joints, and I have limited range of motion in most of my major joints. And while I was at this conference, I had never met anybody prior to that weekend who had my disability. So when I went up there, the very first speaker, I'll never forget this for as long as I live, the very first speaker had my exact same disability. Like, it was unreal, because not many people have it, and Sarah's disability is rare too. So she said, like, I remember you were telling me that you only met one person who had yours too. So yeah. I guess that makes two of us, huh?
Yeah.
But she told me the story about her mother, and the analogy and metaphor that her mother used to describe raising a child with a disability. And basically the story goes something like, you're planning a trip for Italy, so you're really excited for Italy, you're counting down the days, the nights, the hours, what have you. You've learned Italian, you've eaten Italian food, you've done all the things in Italian that you want to do. So you go, and you're about to go to Italy, and you get near the airport, and then when you're at the airport, you find out that your flight's going to Holland instead. And you're like, why is it going to Holland? I wanted to go to Italy. Holland's very nice, but I was prepared to go to Italy. But, you know, so you have certain, not really, you're just a bit apprehensive about it, is what the moral of the story is. But continuing on with it, is that when you go to Holland, you think it's going to be something different that you're not prepared for, that you're not ready for. But you find out that when you're in Holland, it's actually more beautiful than Italy could ever be. Like, it's actually something that you never expected.
Just so you know, we're not knocking Italy.
Exactly.
Not anyway.
Because I love Italian food. I love, everybody loves Raymond. Sopranos are awesome. Little, you know. But anyhow, so we're going to go to commercial now, Cam.
Yep.
And, oh.
Handy Link will be right back after these commercial messages, so stay tuned.
They told me that I was lazy, that I'd never amount to anything. Everything was confusing and frustrating. Then I found out I had a learning disability, that there are solutions and people who can help.
The Learning Disabilities Association of Canada is dedicated to helping people with learning disabilities achieve their true potential in school, in the workplace, and in society. Visit our website at ldac.ca. This message from the Learning Disabilities Association of Canada and this station.
Welcome back to HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells. You know, having a panel discussion reminds me that people with disabilities, regardless of the condition, regardless of where it is they come from, what it is they're doing to deal with their situation, we're all living an extraordinary life. So, for this week's song, we have An Extraordinary Life by Asia. It's from their album Phoenix. Enjoy!
Bottle.
Bottle. sing the song played over.
And now, folks, here's the good word, but it sure ain't from the bird. Here's this week's announcement from CJAM. Can't sleep at night? Got music on the brain? If so, join CJAM's Graveyard Guys and Ghouls Collective. The station is looking for new volunteers who are interested in hosting late-night music programs. Here are just some of the benefits of joining Graveyard Guys and Ghouls. You'll get on-air experience without the weekly obligation of a regular time slot, unless, of course, you want one.
No Canadian content quotas to achieve. Our free-form block programming allows you to play whatever genre or genres you want. Interested? Check out the Station Collectives tab on our website at www.cjam.ca to find out how you can be involved.
CJAM is a non-profit radio station that has operated on the University of Windsor campus for over 3 decades. We're redefining radio in Windsor, Detroit. So, Sarah, you said to us during the commercial that there's a story you wanted to share with the audience out there.
Yeah. As I said earlier in the show, about grade 7, I wasn't able to wear my prosthetic limb anymore due to my skin condition. And I had a really hard time with that because, to me, my prosthetic limb was kind of my independence, or that's how I felt anyways. So I got all through grade school, you know, I was able to walk around with my friends and I, you know, could open doors for myself and do a lot of things for myself. And then when I wasn't able to wear it anymore and I had to start using a wheelchair, I kind of lost a lot of hope at that time because I started seeing the barriers of accessibility and I just felt like I wasn't able to be as independent as I used to be. And that really brought me down.
So how'd you cope with this?
I just kind of said, you know what? This is where you're at in life now, and you have to take it from where it is, and you have to do the best with what you can now.
Like, just, you know, my question, because, you know, some people maybe have, you know, aren't familiar with prosthetic legs that much. Like, mm-hmm. How would you say the mobility is in them? Like, is it fairly good mobility?
It is good mobility, but it's very tiring. It's hard work. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is probably twice as much work as it would be for anybody else to take a step mm-hmm. for someone wearing a prosthetic limb.
Because you have to work, like, your hips.
You more. Have to work your hips. It's heavy. I mean, there's metal in there and, you know, plastic, and it's all built together. And it's a lot harder, but you can still walk around and be independent. That's the whole point of them.
You just kind of reminded me of something a past guest had once said about disabilities that really stuck with me. It's the new normal, which I think has a double meaning. It can mean that society is changing in its views, but it can also mean that the individual is finding unique and creative ways to sort of rise to the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Having a disability can mean having one form of impairment, but it can also mean having a strength that some people will never even approach.
Exactly.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. Just because we have to see things from such a different perspective, it just gives you so much more more strength in life. I completely agree.
Yeah. I heard somewhere once that truth is in the middle of all perceptions. So the way a person with a disability sees things, and the way an able-bodied person sees things, they're all looking toward the same image, and it's all going to even out in the end, I think.
Yeah, it's just different views.
Yeah. I mean, we all have a different side of the equation that we can look at, and, well, it's not to say that either way is better or worse. It's to say that we can all learn from one another. I mean, being open about one's condition, having the courage to really open up and speak up about it and say, this is who I am, take it or leave it.
Mm-hmm.
Really, anybody with the courage to do that is someone I admire. Now, if you're such a person and you have a story you want to share with us, write handi-link@cjam.ca, and we'll see about putting you on the air.
Yeah, we're always looking for different guests to have here. It's always good to have more perspectives, too. You don't just want it to be Cam and I here. You don't just want us to have a little boys' club, you know, all the time.
I don't know why I keep bringing him back.
I don't know why you do either. You must be losing your sanity. You must be getting too old, man. You're getting senile.
Hey, Sonny, what's that you said? I couldn't quite hear you.
Exactly, man.
But really, it means a lot that Sarah was able to join us for this show, because her perspective is something that really adds to the substance of this show, I think. Because
I completely agree, because of what she has, because her disability is so rare too, it gives me the chance to understand more about it, like more about it, and it gives us a chance, and even you guys, even the viewers, a chance to really
kind viewers. Of,
viewers, right, sorry. I mean listeners, too. I've been watching way too much reality TV. gives our listeners a chance to really kind of gain more of a grasp and understanding. So yeah. I'm really pleased that you could come in, Sarah. You've been so delightful. We've been wanting to have you for so long.
Thank you so much for having me. It was great to be a part of this. Yeah.
The thing is, really, when you do a show like this, you get the unique opportunity not just to see a person's disability, but to explore who they are as a person. You can't just see a person with a disability for their condition, because that can ultimately be a very small part of a much bigger picture. And we're all unique. We all have hopes and dreams and thoughts and creativity. And I think people with disabilities need to be recognized.
Oh yeah, I even remember on a few past shows, Cam, that you were talking about that guy who was a blind photographer.
Yeah,
if I'm not mistaken, yeah.
Yeah, he was really an inspiration to me. Not only was he a great photographer, not only on the level of everyone else in the program, but in some ways, he managed to to really get out there and to do some extra. He was involved with one of the school's online papers and. Really, he didn't make any pretense about having any problem with this condition. He just got out there and he dealt with it. And that's really a remarkable thing, I think.
I completely agree. And just this is just my opinion, but I think that in order for really any kind of minority group in society to be completely integrated into society and to completely find their voice, there needs to be champions for them, like in society. So, like, I think that we need to have more disabled leaders in that respect. We need to have more people in Parliament or in the White House or what have you, who have various disabilities. And like we alluded to earlier in the show, it doesn't just have to be a wheelchair or a prosthetic leg or a walker or anything like that. Like, I read a statistic that almost 1 in 150 kids have autism nowadays. Like, how insane is that?
I had the unique opportunity a couple of weeks back of interviewing a man in San Diego, I believe it was, who was actually an acknowledged expert on Asperger's syndrome. Now, not a lot of people could really tell me what that is out of a cross sampling, but that's a form of high functioning autism, and in some cases, it's misdiagnosed simply because it's hard to recognize. I mean, there might not be as many physical manifestations.
Well, definitely. I mean, there's always the different levels that you have when you're dealing with the various conditions or various impairments, and it's true. I mean, one of my best friends has autism too, and the guy is super smart. Like, he gets A's and B's, and he's in his third year of university. It all really depends on the individual. And I guess that just about wraps up the show, huh? I guess we're pretty much finished with today's show. Really happy to be back on. This is DJ Squeaky Wheels. This is Sarah Mickle in the studio with us. She was our special guest today.
Yeah.
And Cam Wells will close it off. Take care. See you, Jim.
We're reminding you, we're all equal. So get on out there and have yourselves a good one. You've earned it, folks. We'll see you next week.
See ya.
Come one, come all, and check out on the Shelf, your friendly neighborhood queer library and resource center. Out on the Shelf can provide you with over 2,000 book titles of special interest to your needs or your curiosities. We also have a countless variety of magazines, movie titles, pamphlets, and many other queer and trans resources available for you and the community.